Hello and welcome back to the Supercoach Champions podcast. You're here with Catfish as always. It is the round 16 LAMEL edition, recording this one on around Friday midday before we kick off tonight with the Cowboys and Panthers. So look, it is the second big bye round. Just a reminder again, it's best 13 scoring, so you can have more than 13, but just keep in mind it's still only your 13 highest scoring players this round. So yeah, look, it's all been happening. I think we've fully processed now what we have to deal with in terms of player outs and who's in and who's out. And yeah, hopefully you've been planning for not just this week, but also working ahead for next week. I'm going to talk through a few scenarios that I'm wrestling with myself, and hopefully I think that'll apply to some of you guys as well. So yeah, hopefully you find it useful. But in terms of late mail, as always, just make sure you get onto the usual sources like Stilesy with this NRL Supercoach talk, his Twitter, obviously. Wacko Jacko will still tweet any late mail that he has that he can share. And, you know, there's obviously the articles from News Corp, Fox Sports, the NRL itself. Yeah, look, don't forget, the most important thing is always to check those final team lists. I'm sure by now you don't really need me to remind you, but I will anyway because it can never hurt to be reminded about these things. In terms of, you know, changes already, the Panthers already cut Moses Leota. I'm not sure whether it's injury or not, but Liam Henry's coming to the bench and Spencer Lenio gets the start. That was info we got from the 24-hour cuts to the squads. But anyway, look, let's just dive straight into the questions. There's plenty of them for this week, so let's get into it.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
All right, our first question comes actually from the Champs Discord. We've got from Fez here. He asks, if Haas and Tino are the first choice front row forwards, where does this leave Tohu, Tarpane and Horse? Ideally, it can't have too much money in the front row forward position. Look, I think that's a very, very good point to highlight. But I'm going to go out there and say, actually, I don't think Tino has to be in front row forward. And there is an argument to suggest that, you know, a lot of us already have Tohu and Tarpane, and I don't think it's worthwhile necessarily upgrading them to Tino just because you want to play him in front row forward. So, you know, you look at the breakdown and averages already for the season currently. Yeah, look, it's Haas, Tino, number one and two. Then you've got Fanua Blake with his massive try-scoring run. Then you've got Tohu, Harrison, Tarpane, and Horsburgh for the next three names. So 4, 5, 6 on averages so far this year. I think that's great. You know, they are going to be very solid options. I don't think you need to do anything with them. Just keep them around. I mean, you can trade one of them if you need to for coverage this round or whatever, or for round 19. But yeah, on the whole, I don't think I'd really touch them, basically. For me, you look at second row, and that's, I find second row a lot more up in the air. So you've got Fifita. He's on his lonesome. There's no debating his role as the number one scoring and averaging second row forward there. Tino is actually number two right now. And then you've got Hopgood, Nikura, Madison, and then it's Sorensen, Kolomatangi, Isaiah Yeo, Bateman, Tohu Harris comes after that to round out the top 10. So look, I don't think necessarily that's where they're going to finish average-wise. I think the end of season always brings a lot of, you know, it really does depend where your team's situated and what your draw's like, especially in the back row and the front row as well. But I think there's an argument. Look, just put Tino in the second row. He's your second highest averaging guy there. Then you can still have Haas, and you know, Haas is still averaging. You know, if you were combining front row and second row, like Haas is averaging 75.9, Tino 75.2, Fifita 83. They're the three highest averaging players. So I think your argument is you've got to get all of them. And I mean, if you had to skip one, yeah, Haas will miss round 25 because he's got that bye there, and you know, both Tino and Haas might not back up or play reduced minutes, although the thing with the Titans is they need Tino a lot more than the Broncos necessarily need Haas because they can afford to drop a game or two with their ladder position. So if it really does come down to one of Haas or Tino and you can't get the other, then yeah, you got to go Tino. But I'd be saying, look, get both because, you know, like Tino's the second highest averaging front row forward and second row forward. And there's an argument to suggest that, you know, Tohu's not too far from a lot of the second row options. And some of them aren't relevant because, you know, like I keep saying, Kolomatangi is really, really tough to own. Come back at the back end of the season because misses round 20, misses round 26. Someone like a Hopgood might find his average drop because he and Madison are going to steal points from each other. And yeah, going on from there. So I hope that helps a little bit. I definitely think both are viable, and in fact, I'll be targeting both myself post-Origin there. All right, from Jay at Flint underscore CSGO, head-to-head question. With Brinko Lee's recent ankle injury, do you think Val Tafare could be a good downgrade option? Dolphins have a great run in head-to-head finals. Just hope he doesn't come off the bench for 3 minutes. I think the last point you highlighted there is my main issue with it. Just it seems like at this stage, and look, it might change, and I don't know enough about Brinko's injury. I think there's a good chance he might be back after the bye. It just really comes down to, you know, if Brinko is going to consistently be played ahead of Val, and like I can understand why Bennett keeps going that way, because look, Tafari is exciting, but Brinko has the runs on the board in terms of his attack himself. Like, he's been pretty good in the past. Not so much this year, but, like, I guess that's, you know, Bennett's always going to give someone like that the benefit of the doubt there. I think defensively, Brinko's actually possibly better than Tafare, and that's probably why he still keeps getting the start there. If they get to a point where the Dolphins aren't competitive and, you know, they start playing for the future, then maybe Tafare takes that center spot and Bennett gives him an extended run in first grade, but my issue is I think the risk of him, you know, going back to being on the bench and getting, you know, middle forward minutes or whatever is high enough that I don't think you should be downgrading to him. That's my gut feeling at the moment. Or alternatively, if you do it, just make sure you've got the trade there to potentially offload him again if he does start coming off the bench. And then, you know, if you need to, and when he finally gets a starting spot, if you still like him and you still like the Dolphins' end run over the head-to-head finals, then get him back in, because he'll be cheap if he gets a couple of games off the bench anyway, like scoring 4 and 3 minutes or whatever. Yeah, I think that's my major concern there. All right, from D at Barker Storm Tiger. Thoughts on Guff, though, if moved to 6 and Russell to 1 and Blake to center, more or less points? Self-Evita, as in next 5, misses 2 backup games, could lose lots of money and score low for him. Ideal 13 for this week. I never asked for too much, do I? Thanks. Yeah, D, I think you love to pack as much as you can into your tweet and ask as many questions as you can. So starting off with Gutho, look, I don't mind if Gutho moves to 6, honestly. I just think, like, I understand we want a big score this week and we bring him in and you hope he gets a big score, but I also think, well, he's going to go back to fullback, right? When Moses is back in the team. That's if he even goes to 6 at all. And then, you know, round 18's got the bye regardless, and then round 19 he might have to play 6 again. But I think you're going to want him to have an extended run. You're going to get points from him. Like, he's averaged very similar, if not, I mean, it's going back a few years because obviously he hasn't been called to play 6 for a while. But when he was goal kicking and also playing at 5/8, I do recall, like, he was averaging in the 60s. And maybe even 70 for a couple of games. So he can still do it. I'm not concerned that he will, you know, become irrelevant for Supercoach, right? I just think he gets his hands on the ball too much. And especially if he's in the halves, he's going to get his hands on the ball even more. So, you know, especially if Lane comes back in the team, that's another bonus for him. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about it. I think you're not just looking at his score this week. You're going to get some fullback games in there. And he's going to cover also, you know, three really tough rounds in, you know, 16, 17, 19, and probably even 20. He may still be a relevant player for your team. So I wouldn't be too worried about Gutho on that one there. On Fifita, look, I was a sell Fifita guy since round 13, I think. So I have no issues if you still want to sell him now, especially with that low score in the rolling average. He could be back, you know, 150, 200K cheaper. You're counting on, like, for him not to be cheaper is basically he needs to come out and score a double or even a hat trick or whatever. And I just don't know. Like you said, they could be a real resting or a limited, you know, bench minutes again like he did last time. It's a big unknown. And I think, yeah, I don't think you'll get burned too much if you do sell him. And now ideal 13 for this week. Look, this one's really hard. Like, I don't think there is an ideal one. I kind of think there's no point getting a hooker unless you're going to get someone like a Reid Marnie who covers 19 as well. I mean, I can see Blake Braley being an option there, but, you know, it's neither here nor there. I think Marnie being, like, he's quite affordable, so he might be a little bit ahead just because of the price tag there. Now, having said that, I'm concerned for the Bulldogs this week, so I'm not in love with getting a hooker, so I don't think you need one. Same with front row forward. I kind of think there's a lot of guys who, you know, they're just not that good, not super relevant for this round. I mean, for me, I've got like Harrison Edwards and Samuel Lefanu. So just cheapies there. And, you know, I'm not going to go out of my way to bring in any of those guys this round. So I don't think you need to attack that position necessarily. Like second row, I know plenty of us have heaps of back rowers like Bateman, Nicara, Madison, Preston. You know, a few of us had Katoa, but some of us held Hosking. Like, there's a lot of back row options. So I think, you know, I'd probably want to get Nicara. I do think he's going to be not only good this week, but for the rest of the season, he's going to be one of my top guys in the second row. Hopgood, if you don't have him, I don't know if I'd bring him in this week. Actually, that's a good question. I might actually lean towards getting Matto at 5'8", because even when we've seen Hopgood and Matto play, like, together, so Hopgood on the bench or Matto on the bench or Matto on the edge, Hopgood on the edge, like, I think so far we've seen Matto actually outscoring Hopgood in those few games. Now, that could easily change, and that's just a big unknown here. So I think in terms of their price that they are both are at, I think Matto is a little bit more, but I kind of feel like at least he's not going to play Origin, right? Whereas Hopgood, he's only one or two more injuries or suspensions away from getting a run for Queensland because he is very much on the fringe there. So I do think game three, he's still a risk. So I might lean Matto just for that because I really don't think Matto's in the conversation for the Blues at this point in the season. So then moving to the halfback position, I mean, look, Nico Hines, like that is the one must-have that you have to get this week. It's just too risky to not have him, especially against the Bulldogs now, having lost Matt Burton as well. And Adokar, obviously, very important to the team spirit, team culture, I think. Like, you can tell when he's there and when he's not. Like, I think there is a difference in how the Bulldogs are in terms of their resilience and stuff like that. So for me, I think, yeah, Nico is a must-have and probably just it's hard to take the captaincy off him, basically. I mean, the only other half I could think of is someone like a Jerome Hughes, but I don't really love it myself. I'm not feeling Hughes this year at all. At 5'8", I guess, yeah, look, maybe you've got a Schuster there. That would be probably ideal. You don't have someone too expensive. The only other name would be Ponga, given the situation. I've had some people throughout the Jean Arce, and look, it's just so hard. Like, he's only played one game, and yes, you got to pay some money if you want to get to someone else, but yeah, I think Ponga, for the price tag, is probably decent there. In the centres, yeah, look, I'd love to have Ronnie or at least one Shark. I know not everyone can pay up to get Ronnie, and if you can't, then look, Raymond's very cheap. Katoa I probably wouldn't get because he's still going to get cheaper. And, I mean, Talakai, yeah, maybe. I think of all the backs there, I think Talakai and Katoa both played really poorly to the last week to the extent that they could be in the mix for a dropping if the Sharks keep sucking, basically. Like, especially Talakai could get benched. Because he can be useful off the bench and have that impact. Katoa, you know, if he drops, he drops out of the team altogether. So, yeah, look, I think if I was going to pick someone, I'd pick Ramian if I couldn't afford Ronnie out of the Sharks' backs there. I think ideally you'd love to have Garrick. And, you know, it's not going to be easy to get him because he's so expensive. But he's going to get more expensive, basically. So, yeah, Garrick ideally is someone you would have already. Look, Manu, I think this is a tough one. I think Joe Fitz was talking about this. Like, Manu ideally would be someone you want to have in your team because he's going to go well this week, most likely. Like, it's hard to see him not scoring very solidly because he always does well playing fullback. Just the base is, you know, the involvement is insane. And right now, the Roosters are struggling so much with attack. So he may literally try hero ball his way to scoring, you know, one or two tries. So the problem is, like, afterwards, you know, do the Roosters just suck and Manu goes back to centre because maybe Robbo wants to persevere with Sandon Smith and Kiri in the halves for a bit. If Manu at right centre running off, you know, Sandon Smith, like, it's not very appealing, is it? So, yeah, I'm very torn on that. Like, I think if you had the luxury of getting him in and then maybe you can flick him after, you know, at round 19 and not look back, like, that's not a bad move either. But yeah, that's probably my struggle with Manu. I definitely do think if you've got him, like, it's a great move and, you know, he's worth a vice captaincy even. But if you don't, yeah, I'm not sure he's a must trade in option the way like a Nico Hines is normally. aside from that, I mean, you can just pot up at the center wing. I don't think there's any real standouts that you need to have outside of the few I've already mentioned. And at fullback, I mean, Gutho, Edwards, Kennedy, Buller, I wouldn't pay the $691 for. But, yeah, you'd love to have Buller, ideally, for this week as well, just because, I mean, it's just he's been on a tear, right? Like, he just keeps getting it done. And some of it's just individual brilliance. Like, that fend he put on Tino and just broken play, just running across the field, scores a try. It's, yeah, very impressive what he's been able to do. I mean, yeah, like, you can't argue with 110 three-round average, 86.8 five-round average. So, yeah, just not sure I want to pay for that at 691K for someone who's, you know, played. I think he might be up to double digits now in terms of games played. I could be wrong. But, yeah, hopefully that answers your question. I know a lot of in there, but, yeah, thanks. All right, from Peter Hambesis at Man Like Hambo. Is Gagai a good pot option for the run home? Looks to have a solid base and a decent draw. Look, in a nutshell, yeah, I think Gagai has just been really solid for Supercoach all season. His work rate is fantastic. He's getting attacking stats now and then, and I think having Ponga in the team can't be a bad thing necessarily for them. And Hastings is choosing when to get the ball to Gagai quite well, and, you know, sometimes Gagai just needs to get the ball to Dom Young on his right, and then Dom Young can do the rest. So, yeah, I think he's a good pot option, definitely. The only risk is, yeah, he is potentially. I don't think his cards are marked for Origin. I just think, obviously, Billy's made some choices, but, you know, one or two more injuries, and I think Gagai's definitely playing game three is what I feel about it. So, yeah, having said that, like I said, yeah, really good pot option. I don't mind that shout at all. From Nick Kuhn, at Coco for two. Cleary to SJ, who faces Dragons next week, to save a trade next week. I rate him over Hughes. Could be a straight swap for Cleary when he comes back. And I actually think someone else asked the same. No, old mate at Smurden _ Anthony. Anthony was leading our group comp a couple of weeks back. But so he says, I've got 13 this week with Luke, so I want a 14th number. I like Gutho with his buy coverage and draw. Is it silly to go Cleary to SJ this week to find four to Gutho? I like SJ's coverage also and hoping it's a close swap back to Cleary in round 20-ish. So, yeah, look, I think both of you are talking about Cleary to SJ. I think the only risk is that SJ is still, you know, he's still an injury risk insofar as every other player is an injury risk when they train and all of that type of stuff. Now, we saw, like, I know some people took the punt on going early on Karaz in round 13, and they paid the price for it because Karaz was hurt at training. He hyperextended his elbow. So I think that's, as long as you can stomach that risk, I don't mind that trade at all, especially if you've got Nico, you need a backup. So a lot of people might actually go Cleary to SJ next week. That's a trade I'm almost considering myself, but I'm going to save that one for next week. As you know, my numbers for this week are solid, and I don't really need to, you know, I don't have that many trades I want to make over the next few weeks, so I'm comfortable waiting for him next week there. So, like, if you're asking about SJ, like, I don't have a problem with that. He's gonna, you know, go up. He's got a decent couple of games here as well. I mean, you know, you highlighted it, like, it's the Dragons and then the Bunnies will be tougher, but they've leaked some points lately, so, you know, it will depend on who's playing and all that type of stuff. And then the Warriors do get to play the Eels, which might actually be an easier matchup than it could have been, now that Moses most likely will be in Origin again on top of, you know, Junior Barlow, and they might even lose Campbell Gillard if Reagan gets picked for game three. So I kind of, yeah, I really don't mind that play, and then it covers when Cleary's out. So it's just whether you can stomach the risk on him potentially getting hurt at training or whatever and not playing next week. So, yeah. And then, Anthony, the rest of your question, yeah. Gutho, I don't have an issue with that, going forward to Gutho in order to afford that. Yeah, I like that move. And Gutho is a guy I'm really looking, I'm pretty much, that's the only trade I've been, you know, I've put in there and I've looked at it. I'm going, yeah, I'm comfortable with that. So, all right, from Altia Rowan at the _ Scarfy. Hey, dude, Gutho versus Meany. Meany has a dual position, but Gutho covers both of the next big buys. Both missing key playmakers that will impact them. Cheers, Catfish. Yeah, look, I do think it's a Sorry, distracted by this gif. It's a Mortal Kombat gif, and it's Beyonce fighting Scorpion somehow. I don't understand the gif at all. I'm assuming Beyonce's Mini and Gutho with the yellow as Scorpion. I don't know. Look, I think I do like Gutho because of his coverage of round 16 and 19. Mini, I mean, it comes down to who you have at fullback as well, right? If you've got, say, Buller and, you know, a dual position fullback like I do, like, it's easy for me to go like Croker to Gutho. That's the trade I'm making. So that's a much more preferable option than, say, if you've got, you know, Teddy or Turbo or someone else there. Like, I'm not sure I'd be pulling the trigger on Gutho there. So that's, you know, I don't know the answer to that because I don't know who's in your team. But if that's something you would have to do in order to get Gutho, then I'd maybe reconsider. If you got Latrell there, then maybe, yeah, I don't have an issue of trading him to Gutho. If, though, you know, you do have like a Teddy or a Turbo and you want to hold on to them because obviously, yeah, negative break even for Turbo and Teddy's been playing better lately, then, you know, who are you trading to Meanie? And then I would imagine it'd be someone who's a little bit more expendable. So in that case, I would lean that way. So I'd use that more of as a tiebreaker. If it's strictly just between the two, my gut says Gutho over Meanie, but, you know, you could ask anyone and like Joe Fitz will say Meanie and other people will probably say Meanie, but yeah, I'm on the Gutho side on this one. All right, from at SC Merseyside Red, I'm looking to not make any trades this week as I'm running low, but next week it's shaping up as a challenge. If Harry Moses don't back up from Origin, I'll be short. And that's also with Luke, Schuster, and Smith. I'm assuming that's Billy and Sonny Luke. Who do you think is a keeper under 650K that plays 17 that we can target? Now, you haven't given me a position. And reading your tweet, I'm thinking you'd probably still want them to play this week, right? Like, if I'm understanding you, you're trading this week so that you can make sure you're prepared for next week already. So I assume you want someone who plays this week and also next week. Well, I'm going to operate on that premise. So hopefully that's what you meant. Apologies if not. So yeah, keepers under 650K, no position identified. So, and also we'll play next week. So this is where someone like a Dane Gagai fits the bill. He's 625K, you know, great pod option for round 16 and also should cover round 17. I do think someone like, one of the Eels backs, like a Pinicini or a Sivo, whichever option you could stomach there is not a bad option too. Olokwatu at 532K 100, I definitely think he's, like, even if he doesn't go well, right, even if he just keeps getting 50 to 55 as his base, you're not paying much more than that, right? That's still fine for what you're going to pay for him. So he's going to cover this weekend, next week, and there's a potential that he goes to the 60-65 range like he has in the past. And if he doesn't, then he's a very serviceable, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th, second row forward at a very affordable price. So that's kind of how I would look at it. Look, if you keep going, you know, Dom Young is a little bit of a riskier option over Gagai, but cheaper as well. So that's something you could look at. I don't know what your situation's at hooker, but say Reid Marnie. If you don't want to risk Sonny Luke, then Reid Marnie's 430-900. Doesn't help you next week, though, so scratch that. Apologies on that one. And then, you know, Joey Manu, if you don't have him already, then definitely in that range of potential keeper. Again, you know, it depends how much you believe in the Roosters. But, yeah, I know a lot of people do have a lot of faith. Like that post-Origin period that the Roosters have traditionally always smashed, like, it's almost like clockwork every year. But for the first time in many years, I'm actually thinking, will they do it? I'm not actually sure on that one. So, yeah, look, hopefully that's a few names there. I think if you keep scrolling down, it's not ideal. But, yeah, I hope that helps a little bit there. From Jay at Bluffmaster 29, is it worth going Moses to Hughes? That Moses only plays one game at best in the next 4 weeks. Yeah, look, I think that's not a bad option. It just really depends on your need for a halfback this round as opposed to next week. As you know, we've highlighted, I actually prefer, personally, my preference is going SJ next week instead. So if you can hold off, you don't have to get Hughes this week. You go SJ in for Moses next week. He'll cover the rest of the season, basically, aside from, I think it's a It's a very random bye. Yeah, round 22. So it's not a tough round to cover at all later in the season there. So, yeah, if it's someone that you have to hold for the rest of a year, I'd much rather have SJ. From Mr. 655 at Dougie, Mr. 655, if I'm trading KPA this week, who to? I'm assuming that's AKP, right? Khan Pereira. And yeah, look, if it's not, then please let me know. But I'm working off that assumption that that's who you're trading in. So he's 489K. Look, I think if you need to stay somewhere around that price tag, and look, I don't know if that is what you're looking to do. Look, Karaz is someone who is around that price. Ramian, I've already put his name out there as an option. It is a really tough, awkward price range, especially if you need someone who's playing this week. So yeah, I'm assuming you're sticking with center wings. So if you're not, please let me know. But yeah, Karaz and Ramian stand out. I don't think I would go, you know, any other name. Like I said, Sione Katoa is also in that bracket, but I'm not sure I'd really want to go that way. And otherwise, you're getting cheaper and cheaper. So, you know, maybe do you go down to like a junior Paga or something like that to downgrade, free up a ton of coin, and then hopefully make a little bit of cash in coming weeks. Yeah, there's not a huge amount of options around that price tag. I don't know if there's other, you know, if you've got any cash in banking, can go a little bit higher. But yeah, hopefully that helps a little bit. Sorry, your question's really quite broad, so I'm not sure if I've answered it properly. From at Rossimo 1111, drink water, vice captaincy option, or Panthers D, still too good. Other options, Ponga and Manu. Look, I think for this question, it's not actually just the Panthers side of things. I think you got to look at the Cowboys outs too. Drinky is missing a heap of guys. And I think the one thing that's going to be a little bit more concerning for me is he's also missing Reece Robson this round. So, you know, in previous rounds, like, he was missing Dearden, so he was asked to take care of more playmaking. But I kind of think when you're missing your hooker, who is quite important to your spine, like the Cowboys team has, I think Robson being missing is actually more of a loss than Dearden from a Supercoach perspective than yeah, the other way around, if that makes sense. Like, I think Robson being out will make the Cowboys run less efficiently, even though Dearden being in the halves with Townsend should, you know, set up better shape and you know, allow for more creativity in terms of plays to allow Drinky to thrive. But I kind of think when it's like Robson, Townsend, and then Drinky's got to come in because they've got someone, you know, like a Hampton at 5'8", whatever, then Drinky can chime in and be that second receiver as well as obviously the third receiver that he often is coming in, you know, on the sweep play at fullback. So to me, I would rather that, if that makes sense. So I'd lean towards Ponga or Manu for the vice captaincy there. From Devon at Devux, best downgrade options from Jackson Ford that play around 16. Now, again, no positions given. So I don't know if you're expecting someone has to be at second row forward or if you can get the front row forward or you can dual position someone into center wing or whatever. So, yeah, I have to say there are no real good downgrade options at second row. I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of many of them. Like, you know, probably the best option might be someone like now Fahu White from the Roosters. He's named at starting lock this round. Again, I don't know his minutes and stuff like that, but he is starting. But yeah, honestly, like, he could end up out of the team, which that might not be the worst thing there, but he's only second row forward, not really handy as a dual position. You know, you've got Asu Kapawa from the Tigers, who's second row and center wing, but he's been on the bench, he's been at center, he's been in the back row. He will probably be in the top 17 and be an AE nightmare, so I'd ideally not want to go there. Then it's either Jamin Salmon or Bronson Garlick might be an option if he doesn't stick around in the team later, but he's played 12 games this year, so he's definitely been in and out of the squad. Even though injuries has obviously contributed to that there. So second row options, honestly, they suck. I can't really recommend anyone there. If you do have the flexibility to get the front row forward, then maybe someone like a Patolo could be an option. He's only played one game, 334K800, but he's just extended for the Bulldogs. They obviously think a lot, very highly of him. So he might be in line for more minutes moving forward over, you know, like there's still no Pelé or anything like that. Again, really, really don't love it. So please don't feel like I'm advocating for these guys at all. If you can get the center wing, then yeah, my guy's going to be Pauga. I do think he's the only real safe option that he's, I mean, he's got the negative break even. He's still got at least two more games where Suoli is suspended and he's got the potential of sticking in the team. So that would be where I'd go. Dylan Lucas is a little bit interesting to me. He's not scored fantastic, but he's, you know, he's played one game off the bench and last round he started and played most of the game. Didn't score fantastic, but, you know, it was wasn't the easiest matchup there. But he's a name to start again, so he could score decent this round. And then, you know, does he keep a starting spot or does he, you know, move back to the bench? Does he drop out of the team altogether? That's the unknown. But he might end up getting dual position because he's center wing only at the moment, but he is playing in the back row right now. So, yeah. Again, if you're just hoping for some one and dones, then Jenkins or even like a Laybutt probably are your better options there. Again, there's really not that many great options. It might even be worth just going straight to enough if there's, you know, none of those names are any appeal to you at all. All right, last question, I believe, is going to be from Peter Ferguson at Peter Numbers. Can you mount a case to hold Cleary? Now, I thought I already did this from like a week or two ago, but look, in summary, the case revolves around the fact that, yes, he's out for 6 weeks or whatever, but if you count those games, he was already missing a chunk of them, right? You knew he was always going to miss round 16 and 19. He was a chance of missing 17, but he might have played. He was, you know, we expected him to play 18 and maybe 17. I expected him to miss round 20 because, again, the Panthers rested all of their Origin guys after game 3 last year. So to me, he's only going to miss two games, maybe even only one game, more than what he was going to in the first place. So if you were intending to hold him in the first place, then, you know, it's not that different. Now, obviously, being injured means you could look at moving him out, and that's where I'd look at someone like an SJ where, let's just say, things just absolutely blow up and, you know, you're in all sorts all over the place trades-wise and you need to trade in other guys to cover injuries in other positions and you're stuck with SJ just continuing to play, then that's really not the worst idea. So it's not the worst outcome if you end up stuck with, say, a Nico-SJ combo for the rest of the year. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of how I'd look at it. At this stage, I'm intending to hold, but that's very much dependent on my numbers for next round. I feel like I'm going to end up with either just 17 or maybe 16, but a very solid 16. So no like real, you know, I'm not counting Sonny Luke as my 16th or someone like that. So I kind of think that's where I'm at the moment. So I'll have to wait and see. Worst case scenario, that I may pull the trigger on a Cleary to SJ trade next week. That is within the range of my trade planning at the moment. So yeah, so look, my numbers, I'm actually got 13 already, but my 13th player includes Sonny Luke, so most likely I'm going to bring in someone. And but what I'm going to do is actually I'm going to make no trades for now because none of my targets are really from this first game, Cowboys and Panthers. I'm not bringing any other Panthers or Cowboys players, so I'm going to see what Sonny Luke scores. Let's just say, you know, within the range of outcomes, he plays 65 minutes and actually scores really well, right? And then I can feel a lot more comfortable, maybe not needing to trade and get more than 13 or whatever. I might still anyway because I like Arthur and I might bring him in regardless. But, you know, I would then hope that Sonny's score doesn't get pushed out. It'd be someone else like a Harrison Edwards. If he scores a 35, whatever, his score gets pushed out of my 13. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. I think that's I wouldn't be the only person in that situation where just wait and see what Sonny scores this round. Tonight, and then review from there and make a decision afterwards on what your trades are. My trades are probably going to be Croker to Gutho and Elisa Katoa. I'm deciding to trade him out because I've not been able to find any information that makes me feel 100% confident that he'll play next week, and I can't afford for him to miss. So if I trade him out as well, I've got two options. Either I'm going to find a way to get Madison in, that will involve downgrading, potentially Billy Smith as well. Or I'll just go Katoa to Olakuatu. So I'm probably using either two or three trades. It just depends. If I use three trades, it's because I'm not going to trade in round 17, 18, maybe even 19, because I'll have 14 players for round 19 if I bring in Matto as well. And they'll be solid guys, not really. Like, Edwards would be my only kind of, like, cheapie. Everyone else is a keeper for the season from my perspective. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. Like, I might be burning the trade, but it's with the intention that I'm getting keepers in. I'm not trading out these guys from the rest of the season. So, yeah, I've only got 15 pre-trades this week, and as you all know, I've got no boost. So that's kind of where I'm sitting. I'm leaning towards just the two trades, but, you know, I'll have to wait and see. Sonny Luke might change my mind, basically, on that. So, yeah, all right. In terms of captaincy, yeah, it'll depend who I bring in, but very likely I'm just going to captain Hines. I don't think it's going to take a mighty effort to sway me off him. So, yeah, all right, good luck, everyone. Hope it's a not-so-painful bye round, and, yeah, we'll talk to you next week.